1 John chapter number 5. It's been a wonderful study over the last several weeks, and it's hard to believe that you can get so much out of one passage, but this is one of my favorite books, no doubt. And then when we study the book of John, we come down to chapter number 5. It has always been a blessing to me. And generally, when we meet with those who are new members or those who are new converts, we'll walk through a class, and we haven't done that prior to COVID. We were doing it pretty regular. But it just so happened in our Bible study that we're falling in to this lesson in chapter 5 and how that we can have full assurance of salvation. It's an amazing thing of the number of people who have been saved for a number of years and still have doubt from time to time of salvation. If the devil can try to defeat you on your salvation or assurance of salvation, he's certainly going to do that. And my daddy used to say, if the devil never bothers you, guess what? He already has you. So the devil's always coming up against us and always trying to defeat us. But this passage of Scripture has been a blessing over the years. Let's pick up and read, if we could, in chapter 5 and verse number 10. And we're trying to finish the rest of this chapter. And the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let's read together verse number 13, can we? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And verse 14 is a wonderful verse that ties in with this verse 15. And this is the confidence. Would you underscore that phrase if you've not done so already? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And now naturally we could take that one verse and know that we could have confidence when we go to the Lord in prayer. But as you see the conjunction there with verse number 13, we recognize that as a Christian, that our confidence is not in ourself, our confidence is not in what we do, but our confidence is in what Christ did for us on Calvary's cross, his finished work on the cross. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Why is it so important that we have assurance of salvation? Would you write down a couple of things, and then we'll try to cover a few things as we have the time tonight. First of all, is the joy. You know, the Lord reminds us in the Scriptures that we can have a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And yet you see so many people who are just getting by and say, well, how you doing? And they'll say something like this, well, under the circumstances, I guess I'm doing okay. Well, what are you doing under there, as I said last week? But look at chapter 1 in verse number 4 and notice what John states. He says, and these things write we unto you that your joy, what? May be full. And so as a Christian, we find in these five chapters the word know some 35 times. You may count those. I believe I counted one time, maybe 38 times. But anyway, we find that word know. So that's the theme throughout 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, 4, and 5. If we know that we have salvation, it's not guess so, hope so, maybe so, or trying to do so, or I think so, but it's about a know-so salvation. And when we have that assurance of salvation, there is that joy that the Lord desires that we would have in our life. Secondly, would you write it down? Not only do we have joy, but we also have confidence. We can have confidence. Now, our confidence is not in ourselves, but our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, would you please, in chapter 3 and verse number 21. And the Bible says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. So we can have confidence. Now, people talk about having self-confidence. I want you to know, our confidence as a Christian isn't within ourselves, but it comes from the Lord. And so the power that we have to live this Christian life also comes from the Lord. The Apostle Paul gives us this wonderful verse, which for many years I just would write that in my Bible. And when somebody would ask me to sign something or even on a letter, then I would sign my name and I would put Galatians 2:20. And many of you know the verse. Let's say it together. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so our confidence is not in ourselves, but our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you may be shy, you may be backward, you may be one who doesn't talk much, and that's okay. It's not about personalities. You may be boisterous, and you may be loud, and you may have full of confidence as far as self. And it seems like you've got the world by the tail on a downhill swing. But many times, people that act like they're happy or even act like they're full of confidence, they really do not have it. And they need something in their life. What is it? It's the Lord. And so we can find not only the joy, but that we can have this confidence, as you see in chapter 3, verse 21. We also find a comfort. Would you write that down? Comfort. In chapter, well, I'm in Colossians now, so I have to go out of this book. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2. Notice what he says in this text. Is that correct? That doesn't look right. Colossians 2:2. Notice what it says. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So as a child of God, whatever is going on in our life, there can still be that deep, settled peace or that comfort that only God can give. So assurance of salvation, not only do we find joy, confidence, but also comfort that only the Lord can give. Then write down a fourth word, and that is an overcomer. In chapter number 5 of our text, chapter 5, verse number 4 and 5, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, indeed. And so we can find that we can be an overcomer, a comforter, an overcomer, and full of confidence, and a person of joy. Notice again in our text, as we look at it in this passage of Scripture, in verse number 13, "And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So where do we find, and what do we find once we have this confidence? We gave it to you a couple of these last week. Now let's recap real quick. First of all, in chapter 5, in verse number 10, we find that we have the witness within. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." Would you say amen? So when you got saved, you invited Christ into your heart. You invited him into your life. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes in and indwells within us. Amen? And so we have the witness from within, first of all. And you'll notice again what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 10. Those exact words all the way down through verse 15 as we read a moment ago. Look at chapter 4 and verse 13. And the Bible says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his what? His Spirit." Notice it's capitalized, speaking of the third person of the Trinity. Romans chapter 8 in verse 16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So you don't have to guess whether you're saved or not. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells within you. You know whether you're saved. As a matter of fact, as a Christian, we depend upon the third person of the Holy Spirit who lives within us to guide us, to lead us, again to teach us, we talked about, and to comfort us, but also at times in our life that he'll point his finger, he'll convict us of something that's in our life. How many know what I'm talking about? Exactly. And the Lord, again, that lives and dwells within us. Secondly, we talked about our witness within. Secondly, our will of obedience. We're not going to go through all of these texts again, but you'll see it in chapter 2 and verses number 3 and 5 about being obedient to the Lord. and thank the Lord that we can have this obedience as we're obedient to the Lord to draw closer to Him. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we need to be obedient to the Lord. Thirdly, do you have it written down from last week? What is it? Very good. Our walk with Christ, our walk of Christ or with Christ, the change that's in our life. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 6. And just notice what he says. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. The Bible reminds us, as Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, how you ought to walk and to please God. And so we talk about this walk. What does it mean when we talk about a walk? Anybody? What comes to your mind when you're talking about walking?
Conduct.
Your conduct, very good. Oftentimes when we talk about walk, we're talking about, well, how the guy walks, but we're talking about our conduct. You'll find in the scripture many times it talks about our conversation. So it's not only not talking about our walk, conversations he's talking about, not what we say, it's our conduct. But of course, our conduct should direct what we say and how we walk. Well, we get it, right? Here's a good phrase, I think, as well as conduct. It's about coordinating. My wife tries to match me up, and she'll say many times, that tie didn't go with that suit, or that tie didn't go with that shirt. How many guys know what I'm talking about, all right? And so it's about coordinating. Well, the ladies are much better at coordinating than us guys are. We need help, right? But coordinating. And so it's talking about coordinating, meaning that when others see us, they should see Christ. When we talk about a Christian, he should be Christ-like in everything. Our will, that's of our obedience, our walk of Christ. And then I believe we left off on this one when we talk about, we talked about our walk here and our will, and we talked about one other one, did we not? Our witness within, and then our work of love. I believe it's where we left off last week. And so the Bible reminds us that we're to love one another. And we find it throughout this text about loving each other. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse number 9 again, and you'll see it. He says clearly, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So as a child of God, we're reminded that we're to have this work of love within our heart. And Jesus said, these things I command you, that you love one another. That you love one another. And you say, preacher, you don't know some of my family, or you don't know all of my neighbors, or you sure don't know those I work with. And there are some people really. Look, those are the ones you need to be praying for. Amen? And God can help you to love them. I'm glad He loved me when I was unlovable. And so may we love others that are unlovable. You don't have to like their ways, and you don't have to go to dinner with them, and you don't have to go home with them. But we shouldn't be trying to tell them what they need to do other than come to know Christ. We shouldn't try to straighten somebody out. We should just be kind to them, love them, accept them as they are, and lead them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so oftentimes we want to push people and we want to condemn people, but you let the Lord do the convicting. You let the Lord do all of that. And may we just do our part of being the witness that we need to be. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John chapter 13, verse 34. And verse 35, he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Look in our text tonight, chapter 3, and verse number 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Would you read the last phrase? But in deed and in truth. It's one thing to say, I love you. It's quite different to actually show that you love them. We must show them. They must see it. A nurse goes running into the doctor who is a psychiatrist and said, Doc, there's someone out here to see you. And he said, okay. He said, but he says he's invisible. He's a psychiatrist. This man, he's in the front lobby. He says he's invisible. And the doctor's response was, tell him we can't see him. You'll get that a little bit. You probably heard the doc say that to you sometimes, that he couldn't see you. But people need to see us. We need to be visible as a Christian. And Christ, again, coming out of us. By the way, the more that we have of Christ, the more He'll be in us. I can't get enough. How about you? And the Lord desires that we not just have a joy unspeakable and full of glory for ourselves, but that others would see Christ in us. Help us to be Christ-like. And so we talk about the witness within. We can know we're saved. We can talk about doing the will of God, being obedient to the Lord. We can talk about our walk, other people watching us, no doubt, and seeing us. Our work for the Lord, our work of love, demonstrated that. And by this shall they know, he says, that you are my disciples. People ought to know that we're Christians. Amen. And they ought to say, you know, there's something different about that man. There's something different about that lady. There's something different about that person. That ought to be said of every one of us. Now, many times they may say it about some of us and say, there's something different about them. Florence, you don't say that about me, do you? Okay. And I have never, well, I probably have said it a time or two about Florence. I confess, I've said it a time or two. There is something different about this lady, though. There's no question. But there ought to be something different about all of us. Amen? And so now I want you to look, would you please, in our text for tonight, as we read a little while ago, in chapter 5, down verses 1 through 9. And you'll see that he's speaking here about the Word of God. About the Word of God. Because God says so in His Word, someone says. Our salvation is in writing, that's for sure. And we see it as we read this passage of Scripture. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Knowing that we can know whether we're saved or not. But as you read this text, notice, would you please, in verse number 6. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. As you read this passage of Scripture, you say, well, what's he speaking of when he talks about the Spirit, the water, and the blood? We're reminded, as Solomon writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says in chapter 4, verse 12, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And you take a string and you can pull that apart pretty easy. But you wrap it. That's what he's saying. A threefold cord is not easily broken. We've used that even at weddings, the threefold cord, and read this scripture. And knowing again that it's not just by ourselves as the two are becoming one, but it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As he speaks here in this passage of scripture, he speaks about the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Turn, would you please, to the book of John, chapter number 19. The book of John, chapter 19. Here we have the record of the crucifixion. And let's move down to verse number 31. The Bible says, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the seventh day. For that seventh day was a high day. It was the annual feast, or the Passover. Notice what he says, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Now, it's important we understand what this text is saying. When they would crucify someone, they would, no doubt, they would be in the hot sun and their bodies would be nailed to the cross, hands and feet nailed to the cross. And over a period of time, they would literally suffocate. And so you would find those, even though they were nailed to the cross by the feet and the hands, they would be lifting their bodies up as much as they possibly could to catch that breath. And what they were doing before the high day, they wanted to make sure that Jesus was indeed dead. And so they urged them to do the same, is to break the legs. Understand, of the soldiers, no doubt, they were going to break, they did break their legs, but for our Savior, they did not do so. Notice what it says. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, notice it. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. It was already prophesied that this would not take place, that there would not be a bone that was broken. What is it saying? He says, no man taketh my life from me. You see, he was willingly giving his life for each of us. He died for our sins. So we see that his legs were not broken. He was already dead. As you find here in this passage of Scripture, as you will read on, in verse number 34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out there blood and water. Underscore that, blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. All prophecy being fulfilled. So who is the writer of the book of John? John the Beloved, and the writer again of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as well as the book of Revelation, John the Beloved. John here then in 1st John reminds us that this threefold cord, or again, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Be reminded of this. John was the closest disciple to the Lord. And ironically, not only from the very beginning, but all the way to the end, John is found nearest the Lord. At the cross, John saw up front and close that not only was his legs not broken, but when they pierced him with the spear, the Bible says, not only did blood come out, but also water. Do you see this? So the Bible reminds us that as the spear was thrust into the Savior's side, that water comes out as well. Now, we believe that water, no doubt, represents the Word of God. And when we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word, what does the Bible say? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But be reminded of this, John chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there, in verse number 4. The Lord Jesus is speaking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? John 3, verse 4. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? When we talk about being born again. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what? Water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When we think about water, no doubt we think about that pool of water. We think about a place where a person would be baptized. We're reminded in the book of Matthew when the Lord Jesus Christ himself was baptized by John the Baptist. But when he was baptized, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. So most would agree that he's not talking about this water where one is baptized, as some would like to teach, but he's talking about the Word of God. He's speaking of the Word of God. The blood, of course, is a symbol of death. The children of Israel, they were delivered, if you'll recall, from Egypt with what? What was over the lintels? The blood of the lamb, the blood of the little lamb, the basin of blood, the hyssop, and put the blood over the door of the lintel. on either side of the door, the doorpost. And so we're speaking about the blood. As we read this text, we realize that he's talking, no doubt, about the blood. We understand that's the blood of Christ, but also the water representing the Word of God. Jesus said, "These things have I written unto you." And so the Lord's given us clear understanding. John chapter 3, verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Verse 18 of John 3. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of God," the only begotten Son, I should say. So here you'll see it in this passage of Scripture that he's talking about the blood and the water. And here are these three. Let me go back to our text before we run out of time, because we're really close, okay? So the question to all of us, how can we have assurance of salvation? We find so in the Word of God. You see, we can look at this text. We can read this text often. I love it. Verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence," of chapter number 5, rather. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So we have confidence in our prayer life, but that first prayer, that prayer of asking God to forgive us of our sin, inviting Christ into our heart, we have confidence that he's received us. And so if you still have doubts after reviewing all of these things, and there's only two reasons. Would you write these down? If you're doubting salvation, number one, you're doubting that you've placed your faith in him, that you have placed your trust, rather, in him. And secondly, you doubt that you can trust him. So the question is, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Did you ask him to come into your heart? Then immediately the Bible says, "He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already." So as you place your faith in the Lord, we're trusting him for salvation. Then the question would be, as we go along, you may be doubting that you can trust him in every area of your life. And that's when the devil will jump in. Now, keep it in mind, the devil's always going to use this vehicle of doubt. There'll be times, again, that you'll doubt. It could be some problem. It could be something going on in your life. It could be some unconfessed sin. It could be some area of disobedience. It could be something in your life that the devil keeps bringing up. But it could be the Holy Spirit dealing with you as well to draw closer to the Lord. And the Bible says, draw nigh to God and he'll what? He'll draw nigh to you. By the way, I'd rather have the Bible tell me than all heaven's angels come and tell me. I'd rather have the Bible, the Word of God. The book of Jude, verse 24, says that he's able to keep us from falling. When we go to 2 Peter, chapter number 1, he talks about a divine power. You ought to read all of 2 Peter 1. This is wonderful when you add to the faith. But before you get there, he talks about the divine power that lives within us. He speaks about the precious promises that we have of God. And then he also reminds us that we're partakers of a divine nature. We're partakers of a divine nature. So the Bible says again, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Is it God's will that we be saved? Yes. And is it God's will that we live a victorious Christian life? Indeed it is. And so when you're doubting, you just get in the Word of God. Particularly, read these five chapters often. No question about it. Paul said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Philippians 1:6. Here's a good verse to write down. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. "Therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." What a wonderful thing to know that we can go to the Word of God. I'm thankful for our bus route. I came across this little illustration. A little girl was riding the buses to church. And on one particular Sunday, she got saved. But the next Sunday was a big day. And there was all kinds of people there, and more on the buses than any other Sunday. And the little girl, she got a little nervous and a little fretful. And she didn't know which bus that she had ridden. And so the teacher comes to her and says, well, do you know where you live? She couldn't even tell them where she lives. She didn't know her bus number. She didn't know the bus captain. She didn't know what her address was. And so the teacher says, well, is there anything I can help you with? Is there anything that you know for sure? She says, I know one thing. Last Sunday, I went forward and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I know if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. Now look, we may all get tangled up sometime and get lost out here in this world. But if you know Christ as your Savior, you can be like this little girl. We can know for certain that if we die, we're going to go to heaven. Everybody can know. Everybody should know. And may I say, even blind folk can know. And there's a lady by the name of Fanny Crosby, and she wrote this precious hymn. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. You know the chorus? This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.